Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Mules don't swear much. We do.
Hello, welcome to the Reading Circle Temple. I'm Molly.
I'm Indy.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Goodwin.
Today, we are reading chapter 22 of Melting Stones. The last chapter, yo!
Yay!
So grab a cup of coffee.
Or tea.
Or your drink of choice.
And let's negotiate with asses.
I didn't write a summary for this one. Evie, like, wakes up at the beginning? Is that it?
She huddles under a barn for about a day, and then she gets enough strength to start moving around. And
the island is kind of destroyed.
A little ashy. Could use some
lotion.
Well, isn't there also just like debris and stuff everywhere? Mm-hmm. Which is why she needs the mules.
Yep, they're rock sides and the roads have washed out. And
I don't remember where she finds the mules. Just like in somebody's barn or something?
I think so.
So she finds some mules. And she's like, hey, pretty mules, you want to help me? And she convinces them to help her. And she feeds them. They help take her across the island. And they also help her recognize when the aftershocks are coming. Because she is so exhausted that she can't tell. She's like Toph without her feet.
Mm-hmm.
Does she get back to like the inn or something?
Mm-hmm.
And she finds Miriam!
Yay!
She's like, I'm so sorry. And Miriam, like, isn't even fazed. And she's like, I brought you this rock! Mm-hmm. And then Nori and Jayet are there. I'll go into this some more later, but real Lilo and Stitch vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Nori's kind of like a married couple, frankly.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Nori's bitchy to everybody, including Jayet, who has done nothing to her. And Evie's like, maybe you shouldn't be so bitchy to Jayet. And she's like, well, maybe he shouldn't try and help me.
Yeah, she was like, maybe that'll keep him from, like, trying to marry her or something.
He's going to have to live with me for a few months. Maybe that'll make him decide that he doesn't want to marry me no more.
Right. I don't know. She contacts Luvo, and Luvo's like, I will let Rosethorn know. So, like, somebody's going to come rescue them. So we know that they're not going to be on the island forever. And then there are kittens. And they're like, Evie, do you want a kitten? And she's like, yes, I want a kitten. The end.
She says maybe she wants a kitten.
Maybe. She says maybe. But she's
maybe.
First mules, then.
First mules, then kittens.
Oh, yeah. And we forgot at some point she decides that she wants to be a novice.
Yes.
That's important because I'm going to talk about that a little bit. Part one of our three-step reading process is reading like a novice. I just said novice, and so it's like, wait, that can't be the right word. Part one of our three-step reading process is reading like a novice. This is where we talk about what we liked and didn't like about the chapter.
I disliked the amount of children dying. There should have been more. I don't know.
All zero of the dead children.
Not enough volcano sacrifice.
Yeah, so how did you... We talked about this, and I put this in the questions for the recap, but...
Every single book, people have died, except for this one. Which, I mean, I'm sure some people died, but not important people.
Did anyone die in The Will of the Empress? Lots of bad things happened, but did anyone die?
Actually?
Nobody of note.
No, people got the shit beat out of them.
Yeah.
People got the shit beat out of them. People were sexually assaulted. People got deposed. People lost their magical gifts. Died.
Well, I mean, they talked a lot about death with Briar. I mean, you're right. I guess there wasn't death in that one.
It did not occur to me until like 3 days ago.
It sure felt like it. It feels because like it.
I was like putting together the questions for the recap, and I was gonna be like, how do you feel about this being the only book where nobody dies? And I went, wait a minute. Nobody died in The Will of the Empress. Lots of terrible things happened, but nobody died. This book is a whole lot lighter than The Will of the Empress.
Regardless. Oh yeah, for sure.
It feels overall less heavy, overall less tragedy, but it didn't.
Yeah, this has been the lightest book out of the whole series.
Out of the whole series.
Out of the whole series, I feel like this is definitely the lightest.
I mean, I did say several episodes ago, I think I've said multiple times, I feel like this book is a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
Which I think you said may be a good thing because the next book is titled Battle Magic. Without spoiling anything, battle magic. So you guys have already said, like, I kind of expect a lot of people are going to die of that based on the title.
Yeah.
And even though The Will of the Empress, we said nobody dies, it still felt like one of the heaviest books in the series.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I'm sure we could talk about more of that in our recap episode, though. So right. Let's talk about chapter 22.
All right, Goodwin, what else? Not enough children dying.
Yeah.
Nobody got sacrificed.
The lack of volcano sacrifices was really tangible.
I don't know what the score is anymore, but y'all's Luvo prediction. I remember
someone needed to die, and it had to be Luvo, but I guess not.
Nope.
Bummer.
You'd have been so happy that I pegged that from chapter 4.
Oh, yeah.
And I've just been here smugly going.
I was waiting this whole book for somebody to die. I'm like, someone is going to die.
I'm emotionally preparing myself.
Like, she's making me like this person. That person's going to die. Every single time we get attached to somebody, like, that person's dead. Don't get too attached.
How could Oswin not die? He's the father of 13 orphans. He has to die. He's too good.
Luvo is amazing, so he obviously has to die too. Wow.
Pierce was just feeling nice.
Apparently so.
Very off-brand of her. I don't like it.
Maybe this is the one that's ghost-written. Did it say power like a cloak at any point?
I don't think so.
It did not.
Did she define the word kid?
I don't think so.
We figured it out, y'all. Melting Stones is ghost-written. Nobody dies. There's no kid. There's no power like a cloak.
Unironically, I actually believe that. I don't know why. The writing style is just so different, too, you know?
It is.
I did like the, I knew that nobody tells a mule to do anything. It's better to negotiate.
What I like, yeah, that's what I like about it, is after The Will of the Empress, every time I see anything about mules, I immediately think of Sandri.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, also accurate for Sandri.
Yep.
Nobody tells. That was the entire point of The Will of the Empress. Nobody tells Sandri what to do. It's better to negotiate. Even when it came down to giving up her like ancestral lands and her siblings, they're like, we can't tell you to do this. We just have to negotiate to convince you that it's the right thing to do.
I also like the little section talking about immediately after that, but Evie talking about the old story about the ferret. That curiosity killed the ferret, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Curiosity killed the cat.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was neat.
Yeah, I thought that one too.
I did too.
Little later on, Evie talks about journeying through hell of those who defy the Yangjing will of heaven. Which, if it wasn't clear enough that Yangjing was a
Awful.
or like a stand-in for Imperial China, that makes it pretty clear with China's mandate of heaven. Like, it's the same thing. Just thought it was neat. I also like the way I didn't like it. It was just kind of a sad realization and like something that I kind of recognized in myself too, that she was naming rocks and their shapes to herself so she would not think, like, to think about the possibility that maybe Miriam was dead or that she'd like see dead people in the river or like I don't know if dissociation is the correct term for that, but it's not
Maybe
far
just
off.
like distracting yourself, just
Yeah.
distraction.
Yeah, just doing something so you're not thinking about like
That.
that worst case scenario. Evie describing herself as a meat creature who had come close to being a monster and talking about surrendering her humanity, essentially, without knowing the consequences of that.
Right.
I feel like that should be part of my theme or something, just because it's like a very deep cut, but I don't know why. It reminded me of that kidnapping that just happened a few days ago. I don't even know where, but like, I think it was like a 6-year-old girl got kidnapped on a hiking trail, like right near her family, their campground. Thank God they found the guy and she was totally safe. She was fine. They found her, wasn't injured or anything. But that there are people out there that will give up their humanity without necessarily becoming inhuman in the story. That,
Right.
I don't know. It's scary to think about.
Right.
There's fucked up people out there.
Just a few.
Yeah. And later on, Evie talking about nothing would make up for you dying. No stone is worth a person's life, you know, to Miriam, giving her the chunk of amethyst. She says that she mostly, I even believe that, because she's talking about her life. But then she says some people aren't worth a grain of sand on the beach. She talks about how Winding Circle will probably teach her to not think that way. Not a very healthy outlook on life. Right at the end, I really like the last line. At least this part of my being a better meat creature was off to a good start. It's
No.
like sometimes it's all you can ask for, you know.
Yeah.
Let's get a good start and hope you can keep it going.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what, you know, life is about. You
Yeah.
make do with what you got.
So this isn't like quite accurate, but so on page 301, Evie says, "The house's fires were out. I couldn't bear so much as the heat from a candle flame anyway. Even the touch of my own breath on my skin was too hot." And this has a lot to do with her having like just been through volcano. But I was just like, I relate because I also don't like the feel of my own breath on my skin. Which has nothing to do with going through a volcano, but it is how I feel. So like I have to sleep in like very careful positions to make sure that I'm like not breathing on my own arm. I don't really like the touch of other people's breath on my skin either most of the
Was literally about to say, if you think your breath on yourself feels bad, just wait till you feel
No.
someone else's.
I also don't like being in front of an air conditioning vent. I just don't like air blowing directly on me or directly under a fan.
Definitely sounds like it's a sensory thing.
Yeah. For sure.
I fucking love it. I love having the vents in the car all pointing at me and just fucking cranking it.
If I'm really fucking hot.
Right.
If I'm not, then like to the side a little bit. Just
Right.
kind of blowing on me. Just a
If
nice
I'm
little.
really, really hot or really, really cold, then yeah, it's nice to sit right in front of the AC for a minute, or nice to sit right in front of the heater for a minute. But most of the time, I don't like sitting under a fan. I don't like sitting in front of the AC vent. Like, I don't like air blowing directly on me.
Interesting.
That's my sensory thing.
So what you're saying is the next time we see you, we all have to get in a circle around you and just blow on
She would die instantly
Yep.
to ashes.
I would melt like the Wicked Witch of the West. I like how Evie tends the mules and they tend to her. So like she feeds them and takes care of them and whispers sweet nothings into their ears. And I know it's not really direct, but she says like they tell her when the aftershocks are coming, and it's really just them reacting to it. But I kind of like this idea of like they kind of take care of her in return. I mean, they also get her through all the rubble. On page 306, Evie and Miriam have their reuniting, and it says, "I walked slowly to her because I was afraid I would stumble. I was wrong to say what I did. My voice was muffled by the scarf over my mouth. I pulled it down. She dropped her chickpeas. Evie, you came! I thought you left! She grabbed me and hugged me and started crying, and I wrote, the epitome of forgiveness."
Mm-hmm.
So cute. And speaking of Zuko, it also reminds me of when Zuko and Iroh meet up again at the very end. And he's like, I'm so sorry and I don't deserve it or whatever. And Iroh just hugs him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, aren't you mad at me? He's like, no, I've never been mad at you. Feelings! I'm going to make you feel today. Then Giant comes out and he's like, what happened to your volcano? We noticed the mountain stopped smoking. And he's kind of talking to her about just like all the general stuff. Oh, hey, what happened? We want the news and whatever. And then Nori comes out and, as the book states, is more practical and says, how bad is the road?
Mm-hmm.
And I just like the balance between their reactions, where Giant's like very just like kind of like, it sounds like he's making small talk or just like greeting somebody normally. Oh, hey, how's it going? Oh, hey, what happened with your volcano? And then Nori is just down to business. And I feel like they're good for each other because they balance each other out.
Mm-hmm.
Also, since I'm talking about Nori and Giant, I said I was going to point this out. Some serious Lilo and Stitch energy going on here. Because we have got Nani and David and Lilo doing the little home thing.
Yeah.
And it's very cute. And yeah. I feel like the Lilo and Stitch, because I know we joked about like, is Evie Stitch? But I feel like that goes back to the previous chapter, the two chapters ago, where Nori slaps Evie or punches Evie and all that. And it's very similar to when Nani like chews out Stitch because it's all of you, it's all your fault my sister got taken.
I mean, it is Stitch's fault that Lilo gets taken, and now it's Evie's fault that Miriam went back. So, I mean, Evie kind of is Stitch.
Learning to be more human.
Just like Stitch.
Damn.
This book just is Lilo and Stitch. It's Lilo and Stitch starring Toph.
Yes.
That is Melting Stones.
I'd watch that.
Yeah, so what we should have sent in our package was Lilo and Stitch and season 2 of Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yes.
309, Evie says, it was good to hear her and good to hear Giant as he argued with her about something. Staying here for a while wouldn't be so bad. Hard work would keep my mind off how little magic I had. I could be useful. Rounding up animals and getting them fed, collecting food. More people would come once they felt safer. They would need to eat. I could help with the cooking too. And I just like that passage and this description of hard work. This really makes me think a lot of the end of Triss's book, because at the end of Triss's book, she has killed all these people and she feels like she needs to make amends for it. And mm-hmm. So she goes and she works with the healers and she's like out, you know, scrub floors or whatever. And then Nico comes in and says, you know, what do you want to work on? She says, I need to learn control. And this just feels very reminiscent of that, because Evie's kind of gotten to this point where she's like, I need to make amends, and she does that by putting herself to work. Also, just as like Triss kind of has this revelation of I need to like learn this, Evie decides that she's going to become a novice. There are at least two places that this is foreshadowed earlier in the book, maybe chapter 14 or so, the chapter titled Oswin, and I was like, oh, there's foreshadowing, there's so much foreshadowing. In that chapter, Oswin asks Evie if she's a novice. And then there's a chapter even earlier. It's like the chapter titled, I Fuss with Fusspot. I remember the chapter titles, yo.
You'd have to actually give a crap about us to become a novice.
Yeah, yeah. And here's the thing. He's being an asshole. But this
but he's
is
right.
He gives us the entire book right there. Yeah. It's like, P.S. yo. This is what the book's about. It's about her learning to give a crap for people, and then she becomes a novice.
Wow. So. Thanks, Murtide. You ruined the book for us.
And speaking of Murtide, I listened to the audiobook, and he's called Fusspot in the audiobook credits. When they do the credits, they're like, Evie was played by Grace Kelly, and so on and so forth. And then they go, Dedicate Fusspot, I mean, Murtide was played by.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's really funny.
The sailors at the beginning were Bruce Colville and Tamara Pierce, and the looters were as well. It's nice to hear Tamara Pierce's voice on the audio. I'm curious. She says something about like all the volcano spirits being gone. So I want to know, is Mount Grace still a volcano? All the volcano spirits emptied out to elsewhere.
I think it is. I'm sure it took thousands and thousands of years for it to get all those spirits in there again. So I'm sure they'll reaccumulate after thousands and thousands of years.
It's just a dormant volcano.
Dormant, yes. My first one is when Evie is on her little trip with the mules, and she says that she envies their long eyelashes. I also want some long eyelashes. Steven and both my girls have really long, pretty eyelashes. I'm very jealous of them. They're very pretty. And then my next one is when Evie gives the mules apples and carrots, also pays them compliments in every language that she knew. And they like the compliments even more than the treats because mules are pretty vain.
What does this tell us about Sandry?
She says she doesn't like flattery, but if she's a mule, apparently she does.
Well, and we did talk in Will of the Empress about how she did like some flattery. So
some flattery, yeah. Well, the mules are nothing but liking flattery. They're like, flattery? Ooh. Snacks? Snacks are nice too, but flattery? Ooh, I love it.
Well, of course, because Briar's not a mule. If Briar was a mule, then mules would like snacks, but he's something else.
That's true. I like where she is talking to the mules. She's saying, it's like a ghost town, I told the mules. I've been talking to them for a while. And then the mules just flip their ears because they're not good conversationalists.
They need more practice, I think.
Which, I mean, Sandra can be that way too. Try to talk to her about stuff, and she's like, oh, whatever. I don't want to listen to you about that.
I mean,
it's not
stuff
that I'm interested in.
Think about the way she treated Ambrose's reports.
Right? Like, oh, this is so boring. You're so dry, and ugh, I don't like having to read this.
And quite frankly, Berenine's pretty much the same.
Yep. I like when she gets to the inn and Nori and Jayat show up. Nori was armed with a huge pot in one hand and a knife in the other.
I mean, mood.
Funny.
He was fucking ready.
And Jayat had an iron spit that he held like a staff.
Also
and
good.
Ready. Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, like, we saw the looters and how they reacted, so.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of cute. I don't know if this says a lot about me or not. When Evie tells Nori she shouldn't be so mean to Jayat, she says, now he's stuck. Maybe living with me for a few months will teach him that he doesn't want to marry me after all. I thought that was really cute. Like, I don't know why. I was like, I guess, he's going to get to see how crazy I am the next couple months. And see if he still likes me or not. Oh, I don't know.
Spoiler alert, he probably will.
He likes your level of crazy. It's okay.
I think she's, what's the word? Like, she lacks, like, confidence in herself. She's like, or maybe she's one of those people who's so, actually, this is probably what it is. She's so worried that she's going to get hurt that she pushes people away before they can hurt her first. Because she's been through a lot of the same, I mean, not exactly the same, but very, like, we've talked about how she's similar to Evie, and she's been through a lot of trauma and a lot of hurt in her life, similar to how Evie has. And that's something that Evie's done. It's like,
yeah,
push people away so they don't hurt me before, get rid of them before they hurt me.
And my last one is when Miriam grabs the cat and she's like, look, this is Squeak. She had kittens. Like, oh, the cat's name is Squeak. How adorable.
I definitely want to name my next cat Squeak now.
If I came back after death as anything, it would be a mule.
I mean, accurate.
I thought I'd stop believing in those hells, but they hadn't stopped believing in me.
Also a really good line.
A little of it was coming back, but it wasn't enough to turn a crystal into a night lamp, which I think is just a nice callback to the first book.
Right.
She's very out of juice.
Mules first, kittens later.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Part two of our three-step reading process is Reading Like an Etiquette. This is where we look for a theme or a message in the chapter. What theme or message did you find?
The one I found was survival, for obvious reasons, I guess. They survived through a volcano. Hooray, survival.
I'm going to talk more about Nori, y'all. I wrote cruelty, and this kind of, for me, goes back to that comparison of Evie and Nori, because Evie has figured out maybe it's okay to be a meat creature, and maybe I shouldn't be so mean to meat creatures, and maybe I should practice being a meat creature, but geez, I just want Nori to take a chill pill, because she's
I see myself
to try it.
I see myself in Nori a lot.
Because literally, Evie's like,
a lot.
Evie's like, maybe you should be nicer to Jayet. And she's like, no, maybe he should figure out that he doesn't want to marry me.
She's so, just being a tsundere.
Nori is continuing to be cruel to everyone, and Evie's starting to figure out that maybe being cruel isn't bad. And Miriam is being cruel to nobody because she's 6 and is the epitome of forgiveness and adorable. And Jayet's just being Jayet, which is cool. And mules being mules, doing mule things. I'm going to shut up now and let somebody else talk.
Perseverance. Keep fighting, even if it doesn't look like it's going to go well. Maybe does a lot of that, especially while she's on her own. We see it with Nora Giant and Miriam holding up and trying to make things work until they could get rescued.
Mine was in a very similar vein of second chances. When Evie sees Miriam, it is like, she's alive, she's not dead. She was so sure that she was going to have to like find her body and like take her back, and she'd be... She described it as she believed that she'd wear her death as a chain around her neck all her life. I personally don't think that's fair, the way that everything went down with her. Miriam breaking her stuff, her getting mad at her, at telling her to go away, Miriam going back to the house and to try to do it in the middle of a fucking volcano erupting. Not anyone's fault, but she realizes that she does have this opportunity to make things right. It is her turn to do it and to take it and to... Like I said, not her fault, but she is getting the second chance to at least apologize and make things right.
Yeah.
It wasn't too late.
Thank goodness.
I know. Tamara Pierce could have been like, no, I'm going to be terrible. And
that would have been awful. I would have put past her, but it would have been awful.
But I think a lot of this is, I do feel like as a whole, Pierce's books, and I mean this about her other series as well, while they can be very heavy and usually are, and like some awful shit happens, they are on the whole positive and uplifting. Like,
yeah,
you can trust at the end, maybe not everything's gonna be okay, but like we're gonna live to fight another day. And I think that if, like, Miriam had died, it would not have felt that way.
No.
And it's very much about, like I do feel like she writes very character-driven fiction. Like, we see these beautiful character arcs. And, again, I think that for Evie to go through this arc, she needed to be able to come out the other end. And she needed the second chance.
Yeah.
And in some cases, that's not the case. That's not what it is. Like, in Shatterglass... for Triss to really go through that arc, she needs to come up to a point where there is no second chance and be tested. But for Evie, it's very much like...
If Miriam would have died, she would have just given up everybody. For sure.
Right. She'd be like, oh, this is why I don't care about people.
Yeah, because as soon as you care about people, they die.
Right. And so to learn to care about people, she had to like hurt somebody to the point that it made a difference to her, but also get to a point where she could trust that she's not going to lose anybody she cares about. She's not going to lose people as soon as she gives a shit about them.
Yeah.
That's my literary analysis for the minute. I'm an English teacher. What do you expect? Part three of our three-step reading process is reading like a mage. This is where we use the text to craft magic in our own lives. What magic were you able to craft out of this chapter?
Mine's going to sound a little weird. I'm going to blame it on the fact that I got married last week and I haven't had time to really digest all of this. But take care of your tools and they'll take care of you.
No, take care of your tools or your mules, as the case may be. Sorry.
Take care of your mules and they'll take care of you. But yeah, I mean, she even like made them masks and stuff and like treated them nice and brought them water and food and like
gave them compliments.
Yeah, that was the most important one.
Yes.
But she took care of them and they helped her reach her goal without too much fuss or fighting. And like she said, if she tried to force them up there without any food or water or anything, it wouldn't have worked. So, feels kind of weird to say, you know, a donkey is a tool, but I mean, it kind of is, you know. But I feel like that's applicable to a lot of different stuff. So
yeah.
I like that one. That's a good one.
Thanks. I'm a good one.
I have. You are.
That's why your wife married you.
But I already had like two things I wanted to say in this section, and now I have a third.
I guess I can go ahead and go.
Yeah, you go.
Mine is from the passage. I'd lived two ways. I'd been one with Luvo, the islands, Flare, Carnelian, and the volcano spirits. All that fire and glory was splendid, but it was nothing like the hot rush of feeling that swamped me when I saw that Miriam, Nori, and Jayat were alive. Being a creature of melting stone was powerful. It was as powerful as the earthquakes. Being with these meat creatures again was as warm and complete as my own blood. I was a meat creature who had come close to being a monster. I had almost surrendered being human without knowing that I was giving up. Maybe only Rosethorn, Luvo, and Murtide would know I had helped to save lives and this island. That made me feel good, useful, as if I had earned my place among the fellow meat creatures. Not all people are bad. Sometimes it's okay to get close to people. Not everyone's going to hurt you. And even if you don't get recognition for all the splendid and powerful and awesome things that you do, you can still be reminded that you have a place in society and you're important. I don't know. I feel like I'm rambling. Someone else go. Andy? I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
One of the things I wrote down, I feel like, kind of goes along with what Brittany said. I feel like it's basically the same thing you just said. I just wrote it in different words. Just because you've had a bad time in life doesn't mean you should take it out on other people, particularly people who weren't involved in that. And mm-hmm. I feel like this has been Evie's arc, right? Like, so she's been through all of this stuff, and because of it, she doesn't trust anyone. And now she's going, oh, wait, maybe not everybody's bad.
And don't become a monster because of your past.
Right. I think that's the best way to phrase it.
Try to be better, regardless of whether people suck or not. There we go. That's what I was trying to say with all my rambling.
You think the others will come home by then? They always do. Pirates, earthquakes, big storms, they always return once the people on the other island start to get on their nerves. We're proud folk here on Starnes. We prefer to do it for ourselves. We'll definitely talk about it a little more in the recap episode, but the sense of community and trust, even though there were people who were like, meh, it's going to be fine, we're just going to loot and pillage and be assholes. For the most part, they look after each other and care about each other.
Goodwin made me think of this. I wrote, give people compliments, because he was talking about the mules. You know what? I also like to be complimented and told what a good job I'm doing or how beautiful I am or whatever. So you know what? Say nice things to people, compliment them, all that. That's great. I think typically, like, when you say nice things to other people, it makes you feel good too. But the thing that I really wanted to end on, because I feel like I have the thing to bring this all together, I wrote Ohana.
Ohana means family.
And family means nobody gets left behind or forgotten.
Reading Circle Temple is produced by us, Molly,
Brittany,
Indy,
and Goodwin.
If you like the show, tell your friends about us.
If you don't like the show, tell your enemies.
You can also help people find us by leaving a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Find all our episodes at our new home on Acast, shows.acast.com/readingcircletemple.
Shake at us. We'd love to hear from you.
Send us an email at templeofreadingcircle@gmail.com.
You can also follow Reading Circle Temple on Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook. And you can join our Reading Circle Temple Facebook group.
To find us on Twitter, tweet at Reading Temple.
A special thanks to Yellows for Happy for our artwork. You can find more of their art by following Yellows for Happy Draws on Tumblr and Shannon Ann Draws on Instagram.
Another special thanks to Brittany's brother, Thomas Dick, for our theme music. You can find more of his music by following Thomas Dick on SoundCloud.
Thanks to Tamara Pierce for writing The Circle of Magic, and thanks to you for listening.
Let's all have coffee next week.
We don't have an excerpt because this was the last chapter. So
hooray.
We will do an excerpt for Battle Magic when we do our recap.
Hooray! Oh my gosh, we only have one more book, guys! Ah! One more book! This has been a crazy journey.
I hope y'all have enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
It's been awesome. One more book.
One more book.
Wow.
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 Udomas.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.